Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds that we may clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, here's a question for you. Let's see if you get this one right. Who is our Prime Minister?
Don't want to know.
I did hear a few people actually get it right. So that's something. Will this question have a different answer in 2 weeks' time?
Hopefully.
Oh, so hopefully. Now I'm not trying to cause political division here. You can follow whichever party you wish to. The main thing is, remember next Saturday you need to vote.
Unless you come into the latest convention, then you need to vote early, please.
Yes.
Or plan during your lunch or straight after. But yes, do vote. But this question may not even be one we know the answer for next Sunday, might it? It might be when it's a close election. The next day, you don't necessarily know who's won. We might, depending on who you wanted, you'll either be sad or happy. What controls who the Prime Minister is? Now, I remember when we had I was working as a chaplain in the School of Mines up in Kalgoorlie, and we had a lot of international students, and their response to this sort of question, we were talking about how the politics in Australia work, and they said, and we came up with, you know, who decides who the Prime Minister is, and you know what all of the students said? The people. We vote for the Prime Minister. Do we vote? No, exactly. We do not vote for the Prime Minister. We vote for a party. Sometimes the advertising sounds that way, doesn't it? But we do not vote for a Prime Minister. We vote for a particular party, and that party decides who their leader is. That's how it works in Australia. It works differently in other countries, of course. But sometimes we think, we have impressions of how things work in other countries and apply it here. Now, sometimes we do the same thing with Jesus. Let me explain. Let's have a look at this passage from Revelation that we heard this morning. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. This little passage tells us a whole lot about Jesus just in a couple of verses. And in fact, Revelation has that throughout. It is to our detriment that we don't delve more into the book of Revelation, because it tells us so much about Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, we should be eager to learn more about him. But this morning, we're concentrating on what it says here. Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. That is often written as, he is the king of kings. We may say he's the president of presidents or the prime minister of prime ministers. He is the one who is over everyone. So, if you follow Jesus, then you acknowledge him as the King of Kings. Do we agree on that? Better, otherwise see me afterwards. Because we just saw that in Scripture, don't we? And from Scripture we've learned, I would argue our primary reason for reading scripture is to learn things about Jesus. And it tells us that. If you don't follow Jesus, guess what? He is still King of Kings. Scripture states it as a fact. It is not dependent on if I believe it. One of the things, as I was saying, sometimes our modern approaches to things influences our theology. We start to, rather than Jesus is the king, it's almost like, have we voted for him? Did we choose Jesus to be the king? Guess what? He didn't ask me. I don't think he asked any of you guys. He is the King of Kings. That in little words can actually have a lot of impact. There's no choice. There's no argument. This is what has happened. His death and resurrection has established him as the King of Kings. This is who he is. Not only didn't we cause it to happen, nothing we can do can change that. We're going to develop a bit on that last bit. But there is great comfort in actually realizing that when things come to the big picture, it is not up to us. It is, we don't cause it, neither are we in charge of it. We can't wreck it. I actually like to find out things I can't wreck. It makes me feel a little more confident in a bit going about things. So I want you to hold on to that idea. Jesus is the King of Kings, and there is nothing you can do to change that. There is nothing anyone out there can do to change that. If you see someone posting on Facebook, picking on Jesus, or they've got an ideal argument of why Jesus didn't live, or why Jesus didn't die, or why Jesus didn't do that, or whatever, it's not your job to defend Jesus. Why? He is the King of the Kings. He can defend himself if he's that powerful, can't he? Yes, it may hurt you because you don't like to hear the one you love have bad things said about them. But it is not up to you to fix the internet. It is the King of Kings who is in charge. We will get up to what we do. So, because of the resurrection, and we looked at this last Sunday, because of the resurrection, we know that sin, death, and the devil are defeated. We saw that Jesus did all that on the cross, but our assurance that this is done and dusted is the resurrection. We have God's proof that through Christ, these are no longer a problem. I've had a question mark there. Are they still a problem? We know that they are defeated, but they are not yet gone, are they? If you know anything about world history, especially about things about wars, there's wonderful things of go back to World War II. There's VE Day and VJ Day, victory in Europe, victory in Japan, and celebrations all happened, but those at the coalface, they know that the war hasn't actually finished. Victory has happened, but there's cleanup, isn't there? And in some ways you can think we're in the cleanup stage of sin, death, and the devil. As followers of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We are children of the Most High God, yet we still have our sinful natures in us. As Luther put it, we are both sinner and saint at the same time. We're in a bit of a difficult stage, sort of like being a teenager, isn't it? Where you're sort of a child, not yet an adult, you've got things there. But though they are still around, never lose your faith in that they are defeated. They cannot come up with a cunning plan at the last moment and topple God's kingdom. Too late. As I said, that's done and dusted. The victory is won, and it doesn't depend on us. Sometimes we can get into our heads that we want to be good Christian soldiers, that we want to fight for Jesus, that we want to make sure that Jesus is victorious. And I've actually heard people talk that way. Can you see what the problem in that is? He's already victorious. He doesn't need us to fight for him. He's the one who's doing the fighting. What he needs from us is to be prepared to defend ourselves. Most of the time it's talking about Christian armour and Christian warfare. It's talking about defence. Resist the devil, the evil one, sin. They're going to still be big problems. But it's not up to us to defeat them. It's up to us to resist them, to defend ourselves from them. They have already been defeated. We serve, we proclaim, we worship, not to win. That is not the battle. We're not doing that to win. We're doing that in gratitude for all that Jesus has done for us. It is not up to us to convert all of Esperance. He hasn't asked any of us to do that. In fact, we don't convert anyone, do we? That is the Holy Spirit's job. We have to be careful that we don't take on God's jobs. That's his. However, God wants to work with us and through us to bring heaven to earth. This is the thing that's a little bit interesting. It might be a bit hard to wrap your head around at times. The Almighty God, our Lord Jesus, who is King of Kings, the Holy Spirit, who is all-powerful, our God chooses to work through you and me. And he wants that because through what Jesus has done, we have a relationship with God. And what relationship means is you do stuff together. Isn't it? If you're in love with someone, you want to do things with them. Family time is about families getting together and doing stuff. Our Heavenly Father, as he brings heaven to earth, wants to do that with us and through us. But as I have been saying, it isn't all up to us. Can you see the difference that I'm pointing out here? One of the things that I found great comfort back when I was learning about counselling and pastoral care, that when it comes to caring for someone else, and this doesn't just apply to pastors, this applies to any of you. If you've got a family member, if you've got a friend that you're trying to help with go through some difficult situation, one of the first things they drum into you is it is not your job to fix them. Did you hear that? It is not your job to fix them. Now, us guys in particular, we tend to be fix-it type people. You know, give us a problem, we'll work out a solution. That is not our job. In counselling, in pastoral care, the job is to assist the person on their journey. As Christians, it's to help them to see Jesus, to help them to bear the burdens that they are facing. Yes, there may be actual things you can do to help people, and I'm not saying that there isn't. But sometimes we take on big problems that are not ours to solve. But that doesn't mean that God isn't working through each and every one of you. What I'm trying to help you see is that there is comfort in the resurrection that we often don't take hold of. When we go out into the world, we go into our families, in our workplace, and we want to be the best Jesus person we can be in those areas. We want to shine Jesus's light forth. We want to be the sort of person that others depend upon, that others come to for help. We want to be that sort of person. And that is good. That is part of being a Jesus follower. That's part of obeying our Lord Jesus, because we're told to love people, aren't we? But rest assured that it is not all up to you. Do what you can. Yes. What the resurrection tells us, that when we go out and we do the best we can and we still mess up, there is forgiveness. What's even more comforting, I find, is sometimes, maybe more than sometimes, I want to do the best I can, but I know I haven't done anywhere near the best I could. There's still forgiveness. Our Lord is still at work. He has still defeated sin, death, and the devil. Jesus is still the King of Kings. We cannot wreck God's plan. We can, however, keep coming back to the foot of the cross. Keep handing over our sin. Keep receiving his righteousness. We can keep coming to that place of realizing that we are daughters and sons of the Most High God. Luther had this concept of sin boldly, and it's been taken many, many different ways, but I like those who explain it as not go out there and do whatever you want. Of course he wasn't saying that. Those of us going through Romans have seen that just because God forgives you is not an excuse to go out there and do whatever you like. Rather, it's that concept of boldly get up off your butts and go out there and do what you can, knowing that forgiveness is always available, knowing that Jesus is the King of Kings, knowing that sin, death, and the devil are defeated, because each day you come back to the foot of the cross. Each day you receive forgiveness, and each day you boldly go out again, even though you know that the odds are you're gonna mess up. That's the power of the resurrection for each and every one of us today who follow Jesus. The power of knowing that he wants to do wonderful things with us. He wants to help people through us. But it's not all on our shoulders. It's always on his shoulders. But he wants us along for that journey. He wants us involved. Let me finish with this. In verse 7 of the passage, we are also told that he is coming back again. This period of time between his defeat of sin, death, and the devil and the establishment of the new heaven and the new earth is a finite time. Now you may be thinking 2,000 years starts to seem like a pretty long time. But what is 2,000 years in the mind of God? You may think, Lord, why have you waited so long? If Jesus had have returned 100 years ago and thus prevented World War II and all the atrocities, not one of us would be in the kingdom of God. Because we didn't exist, did we? The longer Jesus put, and I don't want him to put it off too long, don't, there's many a day, especially after you've watched the news, you really want him to come back. But in his delay, he is working through his people. He is working through his word. He is working to add more and more people to his kingdom. And he wants his kingdom full. Yes, he is coming back. It's not an indefinite period. It will end. It may end tomorrow. It may be another 2,000 years. That, once again, is not our problem. Don't take on problems that are not yours. Your task, your calling is to be followers of Jesus. To be his person in your home, in your work, in your community, wherever you may be. And in doing that, realizing that you always have forgiveness available in that. Why? Because of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. You and I are children of the resurrection. Let us boldly go forth and be followers of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.